the passing of the moment. I mean, I have learned so many things from y'all. I've been encouraged, been helped. And I just praise the Lord for every single one of you. You invited me here, remember, brother? Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, brother, for that message, brother. I needed that. Reminded of my dear wife. They do labor a lot. And they do labor when nobody sees them at home. And many times their reward is never seen until our kids grow up. And they're so willing to do that. Hope we can have the humilities and the desire to serve without being seen. I'm just full of joy, brothers, today. I praise the Lord for saving me. And I usually get very nervous coming before you, but I ask the Lord to deliver me from fear. And I believe that He has answered my prayer, brother. Fear. It is the absence of courage. We are soldiers, brothers. We have enlisted and willingly, because everybody here has come willingly to the Lord. Nobody has been dragged. We understand that it is by the mercy of God that we're here, and only by His mercy. We, by our own will, are here. We have enlisted, yes. Predestination, amen to that. But when the Lord did His work in our hearts, we willingly came. Amen. So we are here willingly. And we are soldiers of the cross, and we are not to be afraid. The Lord has given us a work to do. There is a reason that He has us here. Wherever you're at, you might be somewhere in Missouri or somewhere in Mount Pleasant. You're there for a reason. And you must just seek the Lord on that and do exactly what He calls you to do. And fear should not be in your heart. Remember this. Whenever a soldier is enlisted in the army, he might have, a $1,000 weapon. He might be trained in the most advanced training and technology and everything, but if at the sound of a gunshot he runs, it's no good. He is not good. Think about a police officer. Whenever he's called to duty, I mean, he might have a real shiny car, he might get paid very well, but if he's afraid of getting out of his vehicle, he will not do much good. So, think about a farmer. A farmer has to be courageous. It's courage to be a farmer, brothers. I mean, here is a pile of seed that you have here, and it costs you money, and if you're afraid to put it in the ground where you don't see it, you will never get nothing. So you have courage. Courage is needed in the Christian life. Think about the many things that had happened because of the lack of courage, because of fear. Think about the Israelites. Whenever the Philistines were attacking, and one man, he made the whole army fear. I mean, he wasn't even showing how he was going to do things. He was just talking trash, like we say, you know. He was just saying, well, you know, just give me somebody. And everybody was afraid of him. The Bible says in Samuel chapter 17, verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. He had done nothing yet. But the whole army stood still. They couldn't do anything because of fear. Think about Saul. Whenever he was in the days of his kingdom, he told Samuel, hey, we're going to get together in this place. We're going to make a sacrifice. And the Bible says that Samuel wasn't showing up. The Bible says in Samuel chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says that he went ahead and started doing his own thing. And the Bible explains, the Bible says that he did it because he was afraid of the people. The people were leaving. So, think about another example in the Bible. Think about the fear of people. Think about Jeroboam. Think about a king that had this power over these people, and he said, you know, if these people go to Jerusalem to worship, we're gonna lose them. So what he did, he got a calf and put it in two places, right? And he said, hey, you don't have to go anywhere, you have to just right here, you can worship. So many things are done in fear. Many things are done in fear. Think about Elijah. I mean, this is the man of God. How many of you have seen fire from heaven? I haven't, and I'm not expecting to see it. But I can tell you, this man has seen that. And not only that, he killed all the prophets too. The thing about this, he ran like a little girl whenever that queen was following him. I mean, think about this. I mean, this man killed all these prophets, and then he was afraid, you know, of the words of this woman. Think about Peter. Lord, I'll die with you. No, you won't. Yes, I will. No, you won't. You're going to deny me 3 times. He had to lie and cuss because he was afraid. Brothers, there is no time for fear in the Christian walk. We must press on. We must press on. Brother Mac, will you pray, please?
Father, certainly in our walk, there is no word probably that can help us any more than this one. By your Holy Spirit, would you take your truth, would you plant it deep in our minds and our hearts? And as you told Joshua, Lord, would you say to us today, be courageous, because I've given you the land, go to possess it. Bless our brother as he preaches. Yeah. Lord, may he be the very voice of Christ to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn with me on Acts chapter 18. Verse 9. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on and speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. And he settled there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. It has happened to the best of Christians. Sometimes in the ministry, after much rejection, you feel fear in your heart. And you grow in your heart, you grow discouraged. After knocking on doors so many times and nobody accepting what you are saying, or at least paying attention to a word that you're saying, you might grow a little bit discouraged. After passing 1,000 tracks and nobody stops by or asks you what in the world you're doing there, you might grow discouraged. And sometimes when discouragement comes, fear is the cousin of discouragement. Sometimes you stop, I'm not going to say anymore, I'm not going to go anymore. You become afraid of people. How many of you have experienced that? You are afraid of people. Peer pressure, we call it. I thought this was a problem when I was in high school only. But I find it more and more in my heart that this problem is not just for high school, it's for grown-ups too. When I was at my job, was a lady that was confessing to me. We were going to have some kind of... I work for the government. We cannot talk about Jesus there, but I have a lot of verses on my cubicle. They haven't said nothing yet, and I hope they don't either. But this lady was... We were going to have some kind of Christmas thing going on in our office, and one of the ladies said, "How come we don't get some food and just donate it to the pantry of the in Mount Pleasant?" He said, well, I told one of my coworkers, we already done that, you know, giving out some food, not to the pantry, but some of the people. And I asked my one of the coworkers there by herself, I talked to her and said, "Are you going to give anything?" She asked me and said, "No, we already have done that." He said, "How about you? Are you going to give anything?" "Well, I don't have any money. I don't have much money, and you know, her husband's out of a job, and she's the only one working." I said, "Well, you don't have to give if you cannot." "Well, then what everybody's going to say?" I said, "Well, it doesn't matter what they say. I mean, you don't have it." He said, "Well, I don't want to think that, you know, I'm a cheapskate." And he said, "Well, you know, it really doesn't matter. I tried to explain to her, I mean, this peer pressure that she feels is not right. Paul had a fear. That's what verse 9 says. That's what he says, brothers. I mean, I don't understand it how, but I can have some idea by the context why Paul was afraid. But the Bible says right here, the Lord came in the night and said to Paul, "Do not be afraid." I mean, he evaluated Paul's heart. He saw his ministry. He saw at that time, he was preaching at Corinth. But that's what the Bible says. He was preaching. But at the same time, he tells them, "Do not be afraid any longer, but speak." Yes, he was preaching, but something was missing from his preaching. His heart was afraid. His heart was afraid. Now, he confesses that in 1 Corinthians 2:3. 1 Corinthians 2:3, he says this: "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, 1 Corinthians was written after he was in Corinth, of course. It is believed by people that study deeply in these things that he wrote Corinthians when he was in Ephesus after he left Corinth. I believe that's true. Close to his mind, what he was going on in his mind, he addresses different things that he heard, and at the same time questions about his apostleship and things like that. But one thing that we see here in the passage that he himself confesses is that he was trembling and he was in fear. Now the Lord says the same thing in verse 9, chapter 18. He goes and he comes to Paul in the night by a vision and says, "Do not be afraid any longer." Now do you think the Lord will lie? Absolutely not. Whenever he says, "Brother," or "Josue, do not be afraid," because he has seen in my heart that I'm afraid. What was the reason that Paul's fear? Well, I don't know, but I have an idea. It says right there, "Do not be afraid for any man." You know, so he... In his mind and in his heart, he had in his heart fear toward man in a certain manner. That's what he says, verse 10. Am I correct? That's what the passage says. "For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you." There's a certain reaction once something is done to you constantly. There's a certain effect. You know, you start beating a dog constantly. whenever you raise your hand, he's going to think he's going to get beaten again. That's what is called conditioning. Paul had had a hard second mission trip. Very difficult, not like the first one. The second one was harder. Remember that he was in Philippi. And if you remember, before he came to Philippi, he didn't know where to go. The Lord told him, listen, you cannot go that way, you cannot preach over here. And in a vision, a man appeared to him and said, come and help us. So he went across there, the sea, and he got into Philippi and one convert, Lydia. But there was a woman there that kind of bugged him because he was constantly saying, these are the people of God, listen to them. And he turned around and he cast the demon out of that person, and the owner of that slave got upset because she was providing Sonny. So what happened to them? They beat him up, to him and Silas, put him in prison. Think about this. Rejected. That's his first rejection there, anyways, in Philippi. Then he moves down to Thessalonica. He goes down. In fact, after he was in jail, the Lord marvelously, a miracle. He's taken out of prison by the power of God. The jailer become a Christian. He baptizing him and his family that night. But through all that, he has these rejections going on with most people. Eventually, he leaves Philippi, goes to Thessalonica, and he starts preaching. And the Jews became very jealous there. So they start attacking them. And the people from Thessalonica sent Paul and Silas and Timothy, because he was with them, to Berea. In Berea, they accept the word of God very faithfully, but the problem is that the people from Thessalonica heard that the word of God was preached over there, and they went down there and started causing problems. And guess what they do? They did this. They did not take Silas and Titus out and Paul with him and send them to Athens. They didn't do that. They sent Paul alone. That's what is called profiling. He was a troublemaker. He was spiritual profiling right there. He was in the problems. Think about this. He is the apostle. He knows he's been called from God. And he's having all these difficulties. And nobody else is being, thrown out of Berea, but he himself. And he goes alone. And before they leave him, he says, he gives a command to those people. Tell Silas and Timothy to come to me as fast as they can. But he didn't do that. They stayed there for a while. He went to Athens and he starts preaching in Mars Hill. He talks about everything, and everybody was listening to him except whenever he starts talking about the resurrection. Then everybody starts getting upset about him. He said, we cannot hear this. We'll talk to you later on. He goes on, he goes to Corinth. By then, he was alone. He was beaten. And maybe he was discouraged. What happened in Corinth? It wasn't an easy road either. In Corinth, he goes to the synagogue and starts preaching, and people start getting upset with him. So he says, away with you. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And he goes to the neighbor's house, and he believes, and he is the leader of the synagogue. Have you ever been beaten? Have you ever been cussed at? Have you ever been suffering for the Lord's sake? How many of you, can I see a raise of hand, how many of you have been beaten for the Lord Jesus? Cussed at? Very few. Rejected? Oh, we're getting somewhere. How'd that feel? Oh, pretty good, huh? Be honest. You were joyful, yes. They didn't feel real good. And then the question, probably that happened to him, and he became discouraged. Discouraged. He had problems in his journey. He was alone. He was being rejected. He was put out by the Bereans because of the Thessalonica people coming, and the fact and the rumors were going around that he was not an apostle. Turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe. Yes. I'm talking to you about the reason of his fear. In chapter 9, he tries to appease the issue of his apostleship. First argument, you're not an apostle, Paul. How come? Well, you are not like the other apostles. Why not? Well, the apostles are over there in Jerusalem. What are you doing over here? You're all alone. You're a lone ranger. Remember that the apostles were in Jerusalem and they were there? The second thing is, well, you're not married. Third thing is, verse 6, you're working. The apostles don't work. They're over there. The church is supporting them. How come you are not being supported by the church? It is because you're not an apostle, and you know that you're not an apostle, and that's why you cannot receive any payment or any help from any church. And all these things, he tries to answer these things, and he says, I have the right to all these things, but I'm not using them. So in the Corinthian mind, in the church of Corinth, there was these problems of the apostleship. That's why he addresses to the church these difficulties and tries to answer to the best that he can. Why? Has anyone ever doubted you? Doubted you completely? My parents were coming from Mexico, and they're now U.S. citizens. They became U.S. citizens about a month ago. Big deal for our family. They were residents. Whenever they were coming the first time, the Border Patrol stopped them. Saw their papers. It's a little bitty car about this big. He said, where you bought this at? Well, I didn't buy it. I mean, they tell me I didn't buy it. I got it to the government. You know, I applied and then got it. He said, no, you got it from somewhere. So they take him on the bus. They take him to the office. Start asking them questions. It was doubt. Doubt doesn't feel real good when people doubt you. And Paul, all his ministry was put in doubt. In doubt. Preachers, if you're here, have anyone ever doubted you that you're a preacher, that you're a true pastor? Preacher, called by God to preach His Word. Well, you cannot be a preacher. You only have, 15 people in your house? That's not a church. I say, anybody tell you that? I've been told that. That's not a church. And when you say, no, there is a church, and you try to prove it. But it's personal, you see. This is the ministry that God has put in my hands. I'm being persecuted. I'm being left alone. I try to do God's will, and look all these difficulties that I'm going through, and fear starts settling in your heart. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should settle back a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't be so much zeal in my heart for the things of God. Isn't that what happens? I mean, you start preaching,
You start going knocking on doors. You start telling people about Jesus Christ. And the first thing that happens to you whenever nobody listens to you and calls your names, maybe I shouldn't be so much CEO, you know. You know, I've seen those people having a, carrying a stick with a sign in the middle of the highway, getting rejected. You start thinking, maybe I shouldn't be doing. Maybe what I need to do is to make a website. Am I correct? I'm doing the Lord's will, and I'm being rejected. But and your shield goes down if you're rejected. Listen. This is the trap of the devil. This is the work of the devil. He wants you to quit. He wants you to be afraid. He wants to trap you. He wants to enslave you to his trick. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Power. Power. So, Paul has a difficulty here, and the Lord comes to him in the night. I'm glad. You know, I'm glad that the Lord is on our side. And I'm in the side of the Lord because He is the only one that knows what's going on in my heart. I can be preaching here. You know, I mean, if you ever preach, I mean, I have preached sometimes when me and my wife have difficulties. You know how hard it is to preach that way, brother? I mean, I don't know if you ever preached like that. I know that I'm the only one that has this problem. But whenever you have difficulties, Father, and then you have to preach and you feel there's a wall there, you know. There's a danger in fear. Look what happened. Verse 11 in chapter 18. And he settled there a year and 6 months teaching. You can, by the power of God and by the mercy of Jesus, live a life of no fear. Amen. Of no fear. You will serve better humanity and your generation without any fear for them. But you will be like a car that has gas in the tank but water in it too if you have fear in your heart to serving God. Have you ever tried it? Go outside and put some water in your car. Don't put too much. See how it runs. Oh, it runs. It's not. But it won't go very fast. That's why I believe the Lord speaks to Paul and says, listen, you need to stand up and preach and tell people about this thing. I know you've been doing it. But there's something missing in you. There's something going on in your heart that you are not putting away. You see, we can be like Jonah. We can go around and proclaim. Just, God is going to burn this place and repent. And just keep on doing the same thing. You see, it's another thing to sit down and teach somebody and stay there for a while. It is a very different ministry. But you see here, right here, that Paul says, the Bible says that he stayed there for a while. The danger of fear is that you will preach, yes, you will proclaim, yes, but there was something missing in your heart that only God knows. Sometimes I preach and there's no seal there, brother. Sometimes there's something missing. I don't know. I mean, you ever preach somebody, I mean, there's something going on in your heart that you know. I mean, there's no right. I mean, there's no reality whenever you're talking about those things. It will affect the outcome of your ministry, of whatever. I mean, when I'm talking about ministry, I'm talking about you preaching. I'm talking about whatever God is going to do with you, whatever He wills for you to do. It's going to affect the outcome. Mm-hmm. Nothing can cause the preacher and his ministry to go weak but the bounds of fear in the heart of a preacher. Think about it. I believe that the most of the professing churches, they just move into entertainment, are fearful. They're fearful of people, of leaving, of people leaving. Some of the preachers that preach this type of message, they're afraid. Afraid of the crowd. Afraid of their position to be taken. I was in a service one time, or in a meeting with preachers and everything, and they were talking how they were going to do the, 4th of July service. So we have to pack the house. They were talking about this. We have to pack the house, and we have to have the Marines come this way, and the Navy come this way, and we have to have this song right here in the middle, and we have to do it this way. They're going to stand right here, and the other ones are going to stand over here, and we're going to have this message, because to have the right impact on the people. They're afraid of people. Afraid. Think about when somebody asks you to testify. Whenever you have a co-worker there and you're mumbling the things about God. Should we mumble about the goodness of Jesus? Man, this is the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Proverbs the wisdom cries out on the street. We have to cry out without fear. If God has done a work in your heart, you are not to be afraid of what. Tell somebody about what the Lord has done in your heart and don't be afraid. You're not trying to convince anybody. You're just telling somebody where to get some bread. And you're telling them that God has done something in your heart and you're not afraid to say it. How many of you are afraid to say you're Americans? I have dual citizenship. I don't know why, but I do. I found that out about a year ago. Mexican citizenship and American citizenship. I don't know. Hey, listen, don't get upset with me. I didn't make it that way. I think it's the law of Mexico. I don't know. But I'm not afraid to say I'm American. Why would I be afraid to say Jesus saved me from my sins? Why would I be afraid to tell about the goodness of God? Boldly. Without shame. Fear. Don't be afraid. Fear paralyzes you. Fear is the lack of trust. Do you know that you will not die unless God says so? I mean, you can go around the world preaching, telling somebody about you. If God sends you, you can go around the world and you will not die unless God says so. You know, that's it for you. You can be in front of a squadron of people. You can be in front of soldiers with guns in front of you. And if God says, this is not your day to die, you won't die. Have you heard those testimonies? You won't die. Don't be afraid. You won't die until God says so. And if God says so, you're going to die. Are you going to say no? Really? Are you going to say no? How are you going to get away from that? Don't be afraid of the crowd. If you are a new believer, don't be afraid. People are too scared about what people think about them. Their reputation. Listen, we have no reputation. We really have no reputation. We're rotten, no good. Without the mercy of God, we are hell-bound sinners. We have no reputation. What reputation do we have? I don't know, Brother Johnny. He was telling me who he was before the Lord saved him. But you were a stinker too whenever before the Lord saved you. You were pretty bad. We can talk about shooting drugs and doing all kinds of things. What kind of reputation is that? We have no reputation but Jesus. He is our reputation. He is our all. So don't be afraid. Why are you afraid, Jesus says? Why are you afraid, O man of little faith? You see, Peter was walking on water. And he started seeing the way. He signs of Jesus. He started being afraid. He went down into the water and asked the Lord to save him. He rescued him. Brothers, we can, by the grace of God, live a life of not being afraid. The world can take my house, can take my job, can take my kids, can take every single piece of clothing that I have here, my watch if they wanted to, it costs $1. They can take everything that I have. So what? But how can they take Christ? That's His mind. So why are you afraid? You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. So the remedy for fear. What is the remedy for fear? In verse 10 of chapter 11. First of all, the remedy for fear is Christ Himself. His words, His presence. Look what He says, do not be afraid any longer. But go on speaking and do not be silent. Why is it? Why should I not be afraid? Well, Paul, after this trip, we're going to take a 6 month vacation to Cancun. So you can relax now. He said, you know what? Maybe whenever you get to heaven with me, I'm going to give you a bigger place over there. He didn't say that. He said, I am with you. He didn't say, you are with me. He says, I am with you. It's like, listen, Paul, I've been listening to what you've been preaching. I've been listening to what you were saying, been saying to those people. I've been there with you. You're not saying nothing wrong. You're saying you're speaking the truth. If you're speaking the truth, you have nothing to worry about. Now, if you're speaking lies, stop it. But if you're speaking the truth, I'm with you. I've been there. I was there in Philippi with you whenever they put you in jail. I was there in Philippi whenever they hit you. I was there with you. I was there in Thessalonica. I was there in Berea. I was there with you. I'm still with you right now. Are you afraid? Christ is with you. What can they do? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? My presence is with you. When I was in high school, we used to say it this way. I got your back. I got your back. I'm with you right there. In Spanish, we say, the tie was kina. The same thing. I got your back. When God sends you to the north part of the world, and many of you are thinking of going somewhere, if you die over there, praise God. We're all going to die one day anyways. My kids were having problems. Five of them were not converted. They're little children. But they're monsters of iniquity. They really can be. And they were fighting for a little piece of I don't know what it was, a racquetball. I don't know what it was. It was a toy. And I brought both of them in. And I said, okay, we're going to judge this matter right now. Who had it first? He said, well, I had it first about 30 minutes ago. And he said, well, how about you? Well, she put it down and you know, I picked it up. So it's mine now. You know, I need to play with it now. And we went back and forth about 30 minutes. And, you know, I said, you know what? The problem is here. The problem here is not this thing, this toy. The problem lies in your heart.
you shouldn't do this, okay? Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but I did it. So I got the toy and I broke it. I broke the toy and threw it in the gate. You know what? That's where everything is going. The things that you're fighting for, that's where it's going. And the problem that you have right now in your little heart, 30 minutes from now, you're going to be fighting about something else, and you're just showing how wicked you are in your heart, and how needful of Jesus you are. Brothers, we are going to lose everything anyways. Don't be afraid. The remedy for fear is Christ Himself. Knowing Him where He's at. He is not in this world. Listen, not in this world. He's not going to make a campaign on this world. He's not going to make a church on this world. We are going to be out of here. We're going to go somewhere else. Our eyes are fixed on the sky where Christ is. I'm not talking about the sky. I'm talking about heavenly places. So His sovereignty is our peace. I don't know how in the world people have peace without sovereignty. I think it's impossible. He says, right here, I am with you. No man will attack you in order to harm you. I have people in the city. See, Paul was called to preach. Therefore, he had to preach. For the purpose of what? To make a big church? No, for the purpose of calling the lost and for the sheep to come in. He had a purpose. And God was going to see that He fulfilled that purpose. Our hope in our ministry and in your ministry and whatever ministry the Lord has put in your hand is not you. It's Christ. His sovereignty. He has called you for a purpose, and He's going to fulfill that purpose in you. In you. The only peace you have about that, it is not your tactics. It is not your abilities. It is not your finances. Hello? It is not your finances. It is not what kind of school you went to. It is Christ. Amen. And Him alone. So the remedy of fear is Him Himself. I am with you. No man will attack you. I have people here and they will come. And the Bible says that many came to know Christ in that city because of Him. The benefit of fear resolved. What is it? Well, one thing that I see here in this passage, it says right here in verse 11 that He settled there in a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Think about this. If His fear was not resolved, He probably would spend there a month or two and then leave and go somewhere else. He probably had. I mean, he had done it before. He went to Athens just for a few days and just went somewhere else to Corinth. I mean, he could just spend just a few years or, I mean, months in there, or just a week or two and just go on somewhere else. But the fact that the Lord told him, listen, you stay here, don't be afraid. The Bible says He started teaching. He taught for a year and 6 months. And the word teaching shows me that he was settled. He was settled in his heart. Let me tell you where I get this from. In Acts 16, verse 13, the Bible says that he began speaking in Philippi. Acts 16, 13. Now, in Acts 17, 2, he spent 3 Sabbath days reasoning with the people there in Thessalonica. In Acts 17, 13, he began proclaiming in Berea. Now, you see, he spoke, he reasoned, he proclaimed. Now, in chapter 18, verse 4, one more time, the Bible says he reasoned with the Corinthians. In Acts 18, 5, the Bible says, Acts 18, 11, the Bible says he started teaching. So you see, proclaiming and speaking, reasoning, can all be done very quickly. Proclaiming is not teaching. When I'm proclaiming, I'm just saying it. I'm just declaring it. When I'm teaching, I'm going over here with this brother and saying, listen, brother, this is the reason why. This is the reason why. And opening the scriptures with that person and explaining to them the scriptures with them is much different than just proclaiming something. His heart was settled.
He was at peace. He knew God was with him. And that filled him.
Yeah.
What is our fuel? What is our peace? Settle your fears, brother. Settle your fears in Christ. Settle them. How? First of all, be honest with yourself. How do you settle your fears? Be honest with you and be honest with the Lord. Tell the Lord if you're afraid. Lord, I cannot go to my hometown and knock on doors and pass out tracts or talk to my own family members. I mean, what are they going to think of me? I mean, I cannot go to the county fair and preach over there. What people are going to think of me? Now, brothers, settle your fears in the Lord. More than anything, look to Christ for courage. Look to Christ for courage. Look at his life. Remember, he was in the garden. I mean, this is amazing to me. He was in the garden praying, Lord, please take this cup. Me, and the Bible says in Hebrews he was in his fear. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. And the Lord answered him. And whenever they came for him, what he said? Peter got the sword and almost hit the head of the servant. He only got the ear, but he was aiming for the head. And then what happened? The Lord steps in and said, hey, put it away. Should I not take the cup Father gives me? You see the argument here? The argument is that he's arguing for God's will. He was praying over here that please take away this cup, and now he's saying the Lord help him. I believe that. He was courageous. He didn't flinch back. He stepped forward and said, take me. Don't harm any one of these people. Take me. Take courage from that. Don't be afraid. They can do nothing to you. They can do nothing to you. God has set a purpose for your life. Fulfill it. Run it. Run the race. Run the race, brother, without fear. My mother used to say this verse, and I still remember it, and I'm going to quote it. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious about anything, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If he is with you, why are you afraid? If he is for you, why do you have fear? Run. Run. Have no fear. They can do nothing to you. Take courage in Christ. Fulfill your ministry and run to Christ. Amen.